Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I am so glad you are here with me today. You know, I took a month-long sabbatical because I was doing a lot of different things, so I had to take a month-long sabbatical for the month of September, but I'm glad to be kicking off the fall with an inspirational show that I am sure you're going to take with you as we get into the fall season, as we get into the holidays, and as we begin to dream about what are we going to do next year. It's never too late to start to build your goals now for next year or for whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to do. So I want you to, while you're making those goals, to learn how to be happy with your success. Now, some of you who have been following me on Facebook, some of you know that I recently have shown people how I have a like a monkey on my back, for the lack of a better term, because I always have had issues with my appearance and feeling like I was ugly and things of that nature. And so what happened, I had did this wonderful, beautiful post with Rayleigh Carpenter for her series called Hey Gorgeous, and it's just a lot of inspirational posts about people who feel as if they're inadequate in some way. And so I had just posted this post probably a week or so ago, and I was feeling pretty good about myself. I said, you know what, Lord, you have rescued me from that horrible feeling of self-doubt and negativity. And then I happened to see the very next day a picture of a very beautiful woman. I mean, extremely beautiful woman. She had skin like obsidian. She was shimmering. She just looked gorgeous in this beautiful red dress. And that feeling of inadequacy just hit me all over again. And I put it on there on Facebook, and so many of you reached out to me privately and publicly and said, stop it. You know, Parker, you're beautiful. And I said, that may be, but this is something I deal with on a constant basis. So then what happened, our pastor of PJC Network, George McVeigh, he basically said, no, she's skinny, and that ain't pretty, and God made you the way you're supposed to be. And when I saw that, some people were like, oh, you're being mean. You're trying to be mean and make her feel mean. I said, no, what he's saying is that what you find beautiful, someone else may not find as gorgeous, and you're just as happy as the way you are. Then I got to thinking, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we sit here and continue to compare ourselves with somebody else? So you just written your first book, and you just wrote The End. And then you are so happy because that book took 10 years to write, let's say. I'm using myself for example again. And then you look up, and so-and-so has just finished their fifth book. You've just opened your very first shop. You've just done that. And then you look up, someone's opening their third shop. You just nailed the interview and someone else has gotten a raise. All these things, we constantly begin to compare ourselves with other people. And then our success, our accomplishments, even our attributes begin to look as if they're not as good as someone else. So this show is about encouraging you to be happy with your success. And with that, to talk about that, is the pastor of PJC Media, Pastor George McVeigh. Pastor George, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Parker. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, Pastor. Again, so glad you are here with me. You know, we're coming live from a different phone number, so those of you who want to call in at 929-477-1965. Call in and weigh in on our topic, because I think this is a topic that a lot of people deal with, George. Why do people deal with being happy with their own successes?
Well, you know, a large part of it is our first world raising, the way we were brought up. I mean, America is, in our grandparents' day, it was considered the land of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
In our parents' day, it was the land of look out for number one. And they're the mm-hmm. people that raised us and that trained us up to always compare ourselves to someone else and always strive to be the very best, not the best of ourselves, but the very best out of everyone around us. And so, you know, we're kind of stuck in that mindset. I mean, I had kind of a moment like you about a month before you did. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, all of this started, our conversation, yours and mine started at the end of August, when I wrote also a Facebook post about how that I had August was the best month financially as a writer I have ever had in the 8 years that I've been writing. And yet, instead of being able to celebrate the fact that I made more money in this one month than I ever had before as a writer in a single month, what instantly came to my head was someone who started at the same time as I did, that I know how much they make a month. I know what their average income is a month, and it was literally 100 times what my best month was. And I instantly thought, instead of going, yes, this is the best month I've ever had, I was instantly thinking, but they make, you know, 100 times that every single month.
Yeah.
And it robbed, for just a moment, it robbed the joy of, this is the best month I've ever had financially as a writer, you know?
Yeah.
And stop myself and say, maybe the definition of success that we have in America is wrong. Because we're always, even if we reach what we think is our definition of success, we instantly start looking for a new definition.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's important as you talk about this, that maybe our definition of success needs to be reevaluated. And it's not, and let's make something very clear. We're not saying that you have to not strive for your goals. We're not saying, oh, I want to be second place again next year. No, you still want to be first place. You know, I got issues with the participation awards out right now, but that's another subject for another time.
No,
you know.
I think that's kind of the basis, because it's kind of like, but you know what? I have a problem with it, but on a different level. Because here's the thing. I think what we need to do, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about for the most part, what we need to do is redefine success by learning what is our personal success goal.
Okay. Yeah. And that's important, too. That's important.
I mean, yeah. I do. You can't reach success if you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and then when you reach it, I'm not saying, oh, well, yep, I did it. This is the best month I've ever made. I should be happy as long as I stay at this level. Well, no. Goal, but it should be a goal based on what I want, not what I look and see someone else is doing.
And that's a pivotal part of this conversation, is that we're looking at someone else and basing our success on someone else's success. Just like I was saying earlier when I opened the show, I talked about how I saw this gorgeously beautiful woman, and I said, well, I don't look like her. I'm not skinny like her. You know, George has had the opportunity to stay a week? We spent the week together at RT. We spent the week together with him and his wife and a bunch of our author friends, and so he got a chance to get to know me in person. And you know, I don't look like her, and you know, and I was just, a lot of inadequacy comes there. So maybe we need to start by learning how to be happy with your success. You need to redefine what success is, and I think that definition needs to be expanded on. So what we're going to do is take a quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about success as well as what it means to redefine success based on who we are and not on who someone else is. We'll be right back after these messages.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important, A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are calling in from a new line, so if you want to join in the conversation, call in at 929-477-1965. Let me tell you, we're talking about how to be happy with your success. And with me to talk about that is the pastor, PJC Media, Pastor George McVeigh. Pastor George is an author, a pastor, and he's helped many authors learn how to grow in the craft of being a writer, as well as being a very prolific writer himself. He is one of the top hottest romance writers for the sweet category that's up and coming. And numerous readers have talked to us and told us how much they love George's writing. And one thing George excels at is keeping it real. And I think one of the reasons why you do that, George, because if you keep it real, you don't have to make up a lie, you know? Because, you know, the older you get, you can't keep your lies all together. You can't keep them all together. So you're like, wait, what did I tell you Wednesday? Okay, that was Wednesday's lie. Let me give you Thursday's lie. And so Pastor George has been with me for, what, 5 years? Like 4 or 5 years now. Probably as long as I've been doing the show for The Right Stuff. And then as when I started PJC Media, he kind of got inaugurated without his knowledge of our network. He got inaugurated without his knowledge. It's like being called the president, and you had no idea you were the president until someone says, oh, you're the president of PJC. And that's kind of like what happened with George. But, you know, I always appreciate your insight. And one of the things that you said before the break, you said we have to learn how to redefine success for ourselves. Let's go ahead and delve into that. What do we mean traditionally by success? And then let's contrast that with what do we mean by success for ourselves?
Okay, well, you know, I knew you were going to ask this question. So I went and looked up the literally the definition of the word success, and the definition, the dictionary definition of success, is the favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors, the accomplishments of one's goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that sounds great, except for the fact that you have to stop and realize that though that's the dictionary definition of success, it's not the American definition of success. The American
okay.
definition of success is to be better than everyone else around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We, you know, it's why someone who has $1 million doesn't want to stop because now they want 2 million or 1 billion. Or a trillion, or, you know, heaven help us, they want Bill Gates money,
mm-hmm.
you know, uncountable amounts. But,
yeah.
I mean, or recognition, you know. One of the things that I will tell you, one of the things that when I was thinking about this that came to my mind was Robin Williams.
Yeah, yeah,
who,
yeah.
Who was nominated 5 or 6 times for an Oscar. And until, you know, for a while, he was nominated almost every year. And almost every year he came in number 2. Or number 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was at a point where, you know, people were asking him about it, and he literally said, you know, I don't even want to go to the Oscars anymore because I know even if I'm nominated, I'm not going to win. And the thing is, and yet look at how many other actors are out there and didn't even get the nomination. I mean, in our world, much bigger names in that day and time than Robin Williams. He was known for comedy. He was known for drama. He was known for, you know, heartfelt stuff as well as funny stuff and family stuff. And he was just a well-rounded actor. And yet, in his mind, and we know this because of everything that went on, in his mind, he still wasn't successful.
And it's interesting you use him. Go ahead, continue, please. You know, it's interesting that you use Robin Williams because so many people were devastated when he committed suicide. So many people were devastated about that. And the reason why is because you go, why did you do that? But then you find out that he dealt with other mental issues too, combated with the idea that I am not as successful because I don't have this or I don't have that. And it's that constant comparison that can kill us, that really can, not just please God, not in a real sense, you know, but just in our self-esteem, it kills our belief in ourselves. And sometimes because we're constantly comparing ourselves to someone else, we won't finish the project that God has given us to do. We won't go ahead and start that business. We won't go ahead and try to get another job. We won't go ahead and try to, you know, build your craft store, whatever you're trying to do. We won't go ahead and do it. You know, George, recently, and I don't know if you saw the video, it's making its way on Facebook, there is a woman who started a business with moose turds. I don't know if you saw the video or not. And she has, it's the most hysterical video on the planet to me. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing yesterday when I first saw it. I couldn't stop laughing. But here she is, moose turds. She has created a business based off of moose turds. And for me, I was like, well, if she can use poop, make money and consider herself successful, you know, then that's a good thing. You know, I was actually motivated by that, and I got to cracking on my books even more. You know what I mean, George? And that's the thing. And she was when they did the interview, she was like, yeah, we do this and we do that. And she's doing all the double entendre with the words and all that kind of stuff. And she was happy with her success. It didn't matter what anyone else thought about her business. She had made it happy. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to do this show for our fall kickoff, is learning how to be happy with that success. Because when you're not, you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else. Let's go to the Bible real quick, George, as we continue this topic, because there are people in the Bible that we can look to and pull out of that we can get examples from. And so when I look at I'm trying to, you know, there's so many to choose from, George. I can't think of one person right now. I was thinking about Peter. And you know how when Jesus prophesied that Peter, how he was going to die, the first thing Peter said was, well, what about him? What about John? You know, and the Lord looked at him and said, don't worry, in the 21st century vernacular, don't worry about him. Worry about you, basically. Right? That's basically what he said. Why is that important when we talk about success, even though it was talking about something completely different? How can we apply that example to our discussion today?
Example, isn't it? Because here's Peter who he felt bad. I mean, let's be honest, this conversation that he had with Jesus was where Jesus was trying to tell him, you know, I know the prophecy I gave you before my dad came true. Even though he was first dying, and I want you to understand that I don't know what they're giving you, but that I'm going to you greatly, mightily. And Peter's mind, all he could think of was, well, what about John? What about your favorite? You know, what about the guy that you were closest to, the guy who you loved more than all the rest of us? And Jesus's thing was, you know, my relationship, I mean, and what he's really telling him, what does it matter to you if he lives until I come back? What he's really saying is your relationship with me is not his relationship with me. And you need to be in your relationship with me. I will tell you my personal example, spiritual example, scriptural example of this is King Saul. First king. You know, here he is. He's the first king. He stood above all other men. He led the Israelites successfully. And then one little battle happens, and the little shepherd, the nobody in his kingdom, takes down a giant. And on the way home, people start singing praises. Saul has killed his thousands. But David has killed 10,000. And instantly, Saul didn't see himself as the successful first king of Israel. What he saw was, that guy is better liked than me. That guy's more successful than me. And he's not even the king. He's just a shepherd. And he became filled with this anger and this bitterness and this envy of this nobody. Now, granted, David was going to be the next king. And at this point, David already knew that. But David never made a big deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Saul that made a big deal of it. It was Saul that couldn't stand that someone else's success wasn't his. Where, truthfully, he had been successful as a king up to this point.
They didn't say
Saul never killed anybody. They said Saul has killed his thousands. I mean, they were acknowledging that their king was a mighty warrior.
Yeah.
But the guy that just won the battle for them, he was a mighty warrior too. And so, I mean, it was just, instead of being happy with the fact that, hey, I'm still the king, I still, you know, David may have won this battle for Israel, but I'm still Israel's leader.
Mm-hmm.
Just never occurred to him. And you know, that's what I was sitting and thinking about my own thing and comparing myself to this other author.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the same conclusion. It's the same thing. I've done something I never thought I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I wrote my first book, I never thought I would make this kind of money in a single month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yet instantly I look at someone who is blessed and has their own level of success and thought, but I'm not making nearly what they're making.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, look how far I've come. You know, I mean, literally a year ago from that day, I was making one-tenth of what I made in August of this year. So, you know, for example, and this is just, it's a fictitious number. Nobody.
Yeah, don't get happy.
This is what I've made, exactly. But if my August number was, say, $10,000 for the month of August, the year before, I'd only made $1,000.
Yeah.
And the numbers weren't like that. And the truth is, they were much lower than that. But the truth is, I made enough money in August that I could literally take care of my family just on the money that I made from book sales.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the year before in August, I made enough money from book sales that I could just keep myself in snack food so that I could write for the next month.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? You know, right. I can remember that I had a candy bar a day, every day of the month, and a soda to go with it while I was writing in 2017. But in 2018, I could make sure that all of my business bills were paid.
Mm-hmm.
and the refrigerator was full, and snacks were overflowing. But instead of seeing that I had come so far in just a year's time, I instantly was like, my friend so-and-so, averages 100 times what I made this month.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, literally, I talked to that person, I think, later that week, and they were telling me how that they were making less this year than they had last year.
Yeah.
And how they were so worried because they were making, a couple thousand dollars less this year than they had last year. And I realized, this is rampant. We don't see our success. We see someone else's success and let it rob us of the joy of what we've accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people sitting at home. I saw this week. There was a lady in our Christian Writers group on Facebook who literally said, I've got two books set, completed manuscripts sitting on my computer, and I'm afraid to publish them because what if nobody reads them?
And
I'm like, I remember being there. I do. I remember writing the first book and thinking, nobody's going to want to read this. But somebody did read it and said, I think people will like this.
Yeah.
And so I took the chance and put it out. Did I make instant overnight, Ted Decker success? No. Still haven't made Ted Decker success. But the truth is, let me tell you, that first year, that first novel, I got an email, and we've talked about this before. I got an email that even though I didn't make a bunch of money that year, I think for the entire year the first novel came out, I made like $100 for the whole year. And that may even be more than I actually made, truthfully. But I got this email from this guy, this soldier, returning vet, from Afghanistan, and my first novel was Redeeming Reputation, my book Redeeming Reputation, which is about a young preacher who also happens on his way west to realize he has some skills with a six gun, and ends up becoming temporary sheriff for a town and has to shoot and kill several outlaws. And he is agonizing to the actual sheriff how as a man of God, he's supposed to be saving souls, and yet here in this town, he's already sent six people to hell. Personally. And, because I wanted to explain that how it is that, because you hear it all the time, right? I mean, we hear it from people all the time. How can a Christian go to war and kill somebody? How can God tell people in the Bible to kill these people off? And the thing is, sometimes people have already made their choice, and their choice is evil. And to save lives that still haven't made their choice, those evil people have to be sent to the reward they chose. And, that was in the book. And this young man sent me a letter because he was a Christian soldier who'd been in Afghanistan and literally had to face-to-face, up close, to save his life and the life of the men in his, in his platoon, battalion, whatever. He literally had to shoot face-to-face to Al-Qaeda soldiers and kill them.
Yeah.
And it, as a Christian, this is what he wrote to me. It literally ate him up and sent him into PTSD. And he was in a VA hospital being treated for this PTSD, and he had talked to pastors, and he had talked to doctors, and he had talked to psychologists and psychiatrists, and no one could tell him how he was supposed to reconcile his Christian beliefs with the fact that he sent two men to hell personally.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in his email to me, My girlfriend bought me this Western because she knows I like Westerns to try and calm me down, give me something to do on those nights when I couldn't sleep. And he said, and I choke up every time I tell this story because it's just a success to me.
Yeah.
Even though I made no money that year, this mm-hmm. one letter made that book a success. He said to me, imagine my surprise when the answer from God that I needed was right in the pages of this little fiction Western book my girlfriend brought me.
I tell you.
And it just, now when I have those moments and say to myself, what is success to me? Is it how much money I make? And don't get me wrong, making money as a writer is nice, and it feels nice to make money. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to give it away for free if I can make some money doing it.
Right.
Because
right.
I have a family to take care of.
Yeah.
I have a dog. She needs to eat. I have a wife.
Yeah.
She likes clothes. You know.
Little small things.
That's right. We may live on a mountaintop in West Virginia, but we like the roof that's over our head. We want to keep it, you know.
I hear you, George.
But,
and one thing I love – oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to interrupt you really quickly as we go to the break.
Yeah.
One thing I love about that is that when we come back from the break, the whole thing about redeeming reputation is going to show in, you know, how this one story that, quote-unquote, some people may have felt was not success, what the impact of that is right now. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, because what I want you to learn is this. Your gift, your talent, your business, your art, whatever it is, when you go ahead and complete it, be happy with that, because you never know the effects of what your happiness with your success would be for somebody else. In this case, George was able to use his book that didn't quote-unquote make a lot of money at first to heal a man who had been struggling with the same issues that his character had. And I know George. George was like, he likes Westerns, and he likes to write about good stuff like this. So I know George likes that. Who knew that this one small story here in this side of the world would reach a man who needed to hear from God? Who knew? So being happy with your success, is it being happy because you're being obedient? Is it being happy because you're learning that success for me is how I define it? Or what is it? If you want to weigh in, you can by calling in at 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience, of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking about being happy with your success, and we're talking about that with the pastor of PJC Media, Pastor George McVay, pastor and prolific author who knows what it's like to be happy with what you're doing, but he also knows what it's like to compare yourself to someone else. And so he has been a blessing to me, and I know that what he's saying is being a blessing to you as he uses his own experience, his own walk with God to help you to learn to be happy with your success. And one thing that George does is that George is a master storyteller. He tells the best stories on planet Earth. You know, when we were hanging out at RT, he was telling us this wonderful hair-tingling story that sent chills down my spine. Nothing scary, just, you know, seeing how God worked in people's lives. And I'm like, you know what, I cannot wait till I grow up, because when I grow up, I'm going to be like George, and I'm going to be able to tell good stories. I'm just, you watch, it's going to happen, you know. And what happened with this is that this story doesn't end with just helping this one gentleman. You have to tell our listeners who are out there that here you are writing this one book that in the first year didn't make a lot of money, you know, you got a little bit of play, and then one gentleman, you know, was, as far as we know, was helped at that time with this book. What has happened with this book? Because you got to show how this being so happy with that success and how that success can build off of other things. Go ahead and tell people what has happened with that now.
Well, I think what Parker is alluding to is that Nathan Ryder, the hero of Redeeming Reputation, and his wife, Grace, did not stay in one book. They didn't even stay in one series. I have written several series now, and they have shown up in every single series that I write at least once in one book within the series. And to the point of fact that I just really don't have any stories left about them, I don't think that I do. And so in my latest series, Silver Pines, I brought him in the last novel to Silver Pines because people had asked me for that. People asked me for stories about him and Grace all the time. And not just one or two people. I have like hundreds of romance readers who love Nathan Ryder and wish to be Grace Ryder, and love their little girl. And, you know, it has blown my mind. But in this last book, I sent him home, and I did an afterwards at the end of the book that was set 20 years down the road, when Nathan would have been 65, 66 years old, and I killed him.
Yeah, and that, for some people, didn't go over quite well.
Not for some people. I cannot tell you, I still am getting emails and private messages on Facebook and even in reviews where people are just unhappy that I let him die at 65 years old. And it's like, he lived a full life. He died saving lives, which is what he always wanted, and yet people were just like, "You killed our book boyfriend."
Yeah. What's so funny about this is that he's become a book boyfriend, and I know for certain, George. And this is, again, part of being happy with your success. We're using George McVay's story to help illustrate what we're talking about. So, you know, we're showcasing George, too, because a lot has changed from last year to this year. And, you know, I have been so happy to be part of seeing George's career grow. And what one thing George has done is that he talked, he was like, Parker, you should probably start writing historicals. And at first I was, you know, kind of hesitant to do that because I had never written one before. And then I was like, well, is that something I should do? And then I became part of the Silver Pine series, which is a huge series. I mean, it's been so wonderful to see readers respond like they do. And learning how, you know, I was the first, this was my very first historical. I was nervous. I didn't know how the readers were going to react to it. And I could have been like, well, everyone loves George's books. I can't write like George, you know. And George said, Parker, you can write. Just hurry up and write the book. That was basically his thought to me. You know, let's cut the fat, right, as they say, George. And so
We're
using these examples in the book world because we're mostly authors and I mostly connect with authors. But what about other examples that you're dealing with to our listeners out there? You can use these same principles of learning how to define success based off of your personal stuff, not someone else. Don't compare yourself with someone else. We talked about how King Saul did it with David. We talked about how Peter, he didn't have the same relationship that he with Christ that John had, but both relations were actually very valid, you know what I mean? And so we talked about this,
sure.
And so that's why I wanted George to be on the show, because he knows what it's like. And you can be as transparent as you want, but there was a moment when George didn't think he could write in this write as a romance writer. There was a time when he could do that, and now he is doing that. And like I told you earlier on the broadcast, he's one of the hottest sweet romance writers out there who's male. I mean, George gets requests all the time now. So people want to hear, read what George has to say. And so that's also a success to be happy with. What are you doing to our listeners out there? You know, you're making that first splash into whatever industry, whatever art, whatever thing you're trying to do. And you know what? You have to keep pushing. If you nail that client, be happy you nailed that client. If you created that book and wrote the end on your very first book, be happy about that. Jump for joy. Don't say, well, I don't have as many books as so-and-so does. So what about so-and-so? So what about them? Be happy with your success, because one thing, as George, you can expand on, is that your success is going to change over time, because we as people change over time. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. You know, here's something that I really want to now is that it doesn't matter how successful you are in the world standards, there's always someone more successful.
Yeah.
Always. There's always someone doing it better or doing something new or making more or, you know, and the truth is, this is what we need to learn to do. We need to learn to set our own goal. When we achieve that goal, see that we have succeeded, that success has happened, and then set a new goal, not based on anyone else, but on what we want to achieve, what we want to do, what we want to see in our own lives. And in doing that, yeah, certainly your goals change. Your definition of success changes as your life changes, you know? 8 years ago when I started writing, I never would have thought I would make the money. Well, first off, I didn't think I could write romance. I kept being told that my books were Western romance, and Parker will tell you, I was adamant they were not. Because I was a man, and men don't write romance. Daggone it, they're Westerns. They're not Western romance. And then I won an award for Western romance. So I couldn't say I didn't write romance anymore. And then I decided, okay, if I'm going to embrace this, since I've won this award, let's just embrace it. And I went to someone who I knew and saw as a successful romance writer and said, help me do better. And they literally told me, quit. Because you're a man and men can't write romance. And my initial response was that this person that I looked up to, this romance writer that I looked up to, literally said to me, stop trying because you're just never going to make it.
Yeah.
And my initial response was, well, crud, I've wasted the last year of my life writing and putting romance on as the category for my books. And I came close to taking that advice. And then I realized I was listening to someone else's definition of success or failure, not my own, not what God was speaking into my life. And part of it is also that male drive to compete. And I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, and literally, man.
6 months later, that person came back to me and said, and this is someone who is very well known in the sweet romance world. And she literally came back to me and said, my readers are sending me emails telling me I need to read your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Your romances, because they are amazing. And I guess this is literally what she said to me. I guess I was wrong. And there are some men who can write good romance. At least one now.
At least you, right?
You know, my thought was that for me was a moment of success, because here's this person who told me, quit, you'll never make it, who came back 6 months later and said, I was wrong, good for you for not stopping, because you've achieved this thing where... You know, a year ago, I have to say it this way. A year ago, I could go on a romance group on Facebook, on a romance readers group on Facebook, and maybe 1 out of 1,000 people had heard of me or read my stuff. Now there's not a week that goes by that someone I don't personally know talks about my book, one of my books. And when they do... hundreds of, he's my favorite author, or he's one of my favorite authors, I can't wait for his next book, responses come across those posts. And it just, it blows me away. Because that's
and
a
that's
different level of success than I had a year ago.
Hey, man.
What's coming in the future? I don't know. I really don't. I have my goal set for what I want. And I will continue to work until I reach the success of that goal. And then I'll set another one. You know, okay. I already know what the one that is going to be after this one is. I mean, my goal now is to be a USA Today bestselling author. I'm already an Amazon bestselling author. I'm already an award-winning author. Now I want to be a USA Today bestselling author. What comes after that? Well, then I'll shoot for the New York Times. But I'm not going to, you know, that's my new goal, to know that I'm succeeding at the next level of my career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and go ahead.
No, I'll say it's important to note, too, that as we discuss this, you know, these are George's personal goals. Your goals may not match his. Like, so you're a writer. You say, well, I don't want to be that. I just want to make sure I reach as many readers as possible with the message that I have. That's good. That's what he's saying.
But, you know,
define your goals to what you want. Go ahead, George.
I'm going to tell you all one of Parker's personal goals. One of Parker's
mm-hmm.
personal goals is to get a traditional publishing contract
mm-hmm.
for one of her books. It's not
mm-hmm.
one of my goals. I don't ever, and she knows this, I don't ever
yep.
want to be traditionally published. I enjoy the freedom that I have as a self-indie published author. I enjoy that I have complete control. Parker wants this. It's her goal. It's not my goal. And when she gets
mm-hmm.
it, and she will,
mm-hmm.
I will celebrate right along with her.
Amen. And, you know, thank you, George, for saying that, because I know some people, when they hear – and, okay, we didn't talk about that, and that's something we should talk really quickly. We got about 10 minutes left, and I've just been enjoying our conversations. I always do. But one thing that we need to do is how to get rid of the naysayers who say that, because you used your own example, how someone said, you need to stop. Men can't write romance. You're a man. Therefore, the equation has already been set, okay? And so – we need to talk about how to get rid of that negative talk, because I have that negative talk with myself. You know, other people get negative talk in other areas. How do we combat that when we're trying to be happy in our success? How do we combat that?
Well, the truth is, if we're focused on ourselves, on what our personal goal is, what God has said to us we are supposed to do, those will fall by the wayside. They won't affect you. Yes, this woman's conversation to me affected me. It affected me for about an hour.
Yeah.
For about an hour, I sat in self-pity going, well, I've wasted a year. I may as well just quit, go back to writing what I used to, you know, get out of the romance genre, stop working on all of this stuff. And then inside, because I knew this was what I was supposed to do, because this was the goal I had set for myself, I instantly could overcome that. I have a preacher friend who says to people all the time, don't let the naysayers stand in the doorway of your success. Don't let them block you. Overcome them by keeping your eye on the prize. This is the thing. You know, what was it? Thomas Edison had naysayers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Edison literally had a reporter who said to him, well, Mr. Edison, you know, what do you say to the fact that you've had 1,000 failures at making an electric light bulb?
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, I haven't had 1,000 failures at making an electric light bulb. I've had 1,000 light bulb building ideas that didn't work.
Yeah.
That have led me one step closer to the one that will. You know, he could have said, oh, I've tried 1,000 times and I just can't get that stupid filament to burn. But instead he was like, okay, well, this doesn't work. Let's try this. And what he knew was there was going to be a day when he would succeed. And he did.
You know, in our, George and I are in the Silver Pines group, and there's an element coming to the group that's going to come with my book there. And one of the things that I learned is that when the light bulb came about, they would gather all the people in the tent, and the people will wait, and then they turn on the light. And people were flabbergasted by that, something that we take for granted now. People were flabbergasted by that. But he did not let, if we're going to use the Thomas Edison, he did not let those negative self-talk stop him from doing what he was meant to do. He didn't let that stop him. Now we all can benefit from it. We can't even imagine a life without it. You know, I come home, and if I don't turn on the light, you know, I got a flashlight, I got my phone. I mean, all these various applications, because you keep continuing with your success and not letting things stop you from being happy with that success. And so what we're going to do is take a really quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our final thoughts and our final words from Pastor George. If you still want to talk in, call in and talk, you can, 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these messages.
Question, if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We're having a wonderful time talking to the pastor of PJC Media, Pastor George McVeigh, prolific pastor, author, and a wonderful friend of the network. And you know, George, as we get ready to wrap up our talk here about being happy with your own success, how can we take everything we said and how can you truncate into something that we can all take with us before we leave today?
Well, here it is. Your success is when you meet the goal that you've set for yourself. Set yourself a goal, work towards it, let nothing or no one tell you you can't achieve it, and continue until you do. Then take a few days, celebrate that success, and set your new goal, and do it all over again. And before you know it, you'll look back and think, I never thought I would be where I am right now.
George, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. If people want to connect with you online, where can they find you?
Well, the easiest way is look me up on Facebook. I am George McVeigh. You can also find me in my readers group on Facebook, which is George's Gorgeous Readers, because all of my readers are gorgeous. And or you can find me on my website, which is georgehmcveigh.weebly.com.
George, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I always enjoy having you. Thank you for your words of encouragement. We'll have you back and have you back soon.
It was nice being here again. Talk to you later, Parker.
And we were talking today to George McVeigh. He is the pastor of PJC Media as well as a prolific author and one of my good friends and mentor. If you want to follow him online, you can simply go to georgehmcveigh.weebly.com or you can go to Facebook and join his readers group, George's Gorgeous Readers, or you can simply look him up on Facebook at George McVeigh. One thing I wanted to tell you as we get ready to end our show is being happy with your success is learning that God has given you certain talents. He's given you certain attributes for you to succeed. And if he's giving you these attributes, no matter what they are, no matter what difficulties that may come with succeeding, when you're happy with your success, you're basically saying, Lord, I'm glad that you gave me this ability, that you gave me this talent, that you gave me this mission, that you gave me this goal, that you gave me this purpose, and I'm going to be happy with what you gave me. And I hope as we use our examples in the book world, that you can take what we've learned in the book and writing world and expand it to your own world. Are you a musician? Are you a painter? Are you a singer? Are you a scientist? Are you a researcher? Are you a craft or homemaker? Are you a janitor? Are you a teacher, principal? Whatever that goal is that you have for yourself, be happy when you set that goal and you meet that goal. Celebrate your success. And when you learn how to celebrate your success by not looking and comparing with somebody else, guess what? You'll learn to be happy with your success. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.